It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
This season is expected to be one of the worst fall allergy and asthma seasons that we can remember. My guest is Dr. Stephen Apolisky. He's board certified in pediatrics as well as allergy and immunology. So Dr. Apolisky, we understand this is going to be a really bad fall for allergy sufferers. What can people do right now to start themselves before the fall hits really heavily to get themselves ready so they don't suffer quite so much?
Yeah, sure, Melanie. I think the most critical thing is if you have a medication regimen that you have and maybe you're a little bit lax with, is to get on that and stay on it. So especially in asthma, if you have a maintenance inhaler, let's say an inhaled steroid inhaler, that kind of thing, then you want to make sure you're taking that every single day because it takes time for that to get to work. And if you have it on board for a good week or so, then you'll be more protected if you just wait until you have problems. The other thing they can do is kind of monitor their time outdoors. So, you know, when the wind tends to be elevated, that's when it blows the pollen around. And that tends to be sometimes early in the morning or later in the afternoon. So if you're going to do outdoor activities, it's best to try and, you know, get out there when the winds aren't as high if you can. Those are the most important things. Then make sure your medicines are current. You know, don't find out that, gee, I'm in the middle of a problem here and I have medications that are outdated or I can't find them.
So since you brought up medications, let's start with medications. There's both prescription medications and over-the-counter medications. Now, right. I mean, as a parent, I always keep Benadryl around just, you know, for whatever, and maybe Claritin. So do these things have to be something you build up in your system, or can you use them not as a rescue thing, but as something that, you know, oh, you're suffering right now, here, take this?
Yeah, I think you can do that because what happens with the nose determines a lot of times what happens with the lungs in asthma. So if they know they're going to have problems with allergies, they can start those things, you know, as I said, and use them every day actually for right now. They go to work pretty quickly, but they work better if you have them in your system kind of before things get rolling along. So yes, those kind of things, Benadryl is a long time, you know, an old time drug, Claritin, Zyrtec, Allegra, all those things are things you could be taking right now as you enter the allergy season to protect your nose, to prevent it from getting worse, and that'll make your asthma easier to take care of.
Do you have any favorites among those? Claritin,
you know,
Benadryl, do any of them make you not drowsy? I know Benadryl can knock you out.
Sure can. It's a great sleeping medicine.
It is.
I think out of all of them, honestly, I think Allegra probably has the least problems with drowsiness, and I think Zyrtec is a great medicine also. I think Claritin's good. It's been around a long time, but I don't know that it's quite as potent for most people as those other two medications are.
Now, what about prescription medications? Are we looking at carrying around a rescue inhaler, or do you get a prescription when you know this is something that you're going to suffer from and your doctor gives it to you and you've been taking it on a regular basis?
Yeah, when people have something called moderate asthma, in other words, they're using that rescue inhaler more than twice a week, or they're waking up at nighttime, you know, over time, and their asthma is not controlled. That's the key, is to get a medication that controls it. That's usually something to start with, like an inhaled steroid medicine, like Asthmanex or Flovent, those type of medications, and use those every day. And that's critical. And then you carry your rescue medicine with you so that if you do end up with getting, you know, triggered, we talked about that, somewhere along the line, then you have it available immediately. You don't have to be waiting to use it.
Okay, so now if somebody really wants to stay away from the medications, or maybe they don't feel it's bad enough or that it's chronic enough, what can we do within our own homes that can help kind of, you know, get you from the suffering? Is there certain kinds of air filters that you like? Is drinking more water help? What really helps?
Well, I think just for general health, drinking more water makes sense. It definitely makes sense in asthma, not to drown yourself in it, but, you know, to make sure that you have adequate intake to keep your airways well lubricated, if you will, or hydrated. The other thing is, you know, air filters can help. They really help in the home when you have a pet there and you're allergic to your pet. So you try and keep one either in the living areas or definitely one in your bedroom and try and keep the pet out of your bedroom. The other thing is during the allergy season, Melanie, is trying to keep those windows closed and use your air conditioning, if you have it, to recirculate the air and use a good air filter in there to remove pollens.
Okay, so air filters, and what about dehumidifiers? Does that have any effect because of mold and growth and dust mite growth, that sort of thing?
Right. Dehumidifiers will dry out the air a bit, and that will actually help with mold and dust mite growth. It'll keep those down. If you humidify the air, you're going to tend to have more of an issue, perhaps, with dust mites or mold. You have to be very careful, especially, the humidifiers, or they can kind of get grungy after a while, so you have to keep those very clean if you're going to use them.
And at night, I mean, this is kind of off topic, but you are in pediatrics. Do you like a warm mist humidifier, cool mist humidifier, if we have to moisten up the air?
Right. With my own kids, I always used a cool mist humidifier. When I was a kid, I won't even tell you how long ago it was, we used hot mist humidifiers. I think the coolers are probably safer, and they probably work just as well for people.
Well, that's really, really good advice. Now, what about some of the all-natural things that people are, hearing out there? I mean, obviously something like bleach or cleaning your house with that sort of thing, wiping down surfaces, does that help keeping clean? Are there any all-naturals that you can think of?
I can't think of a brand name offhand, Melanie, but there definitely are lower volatile compounds that you can use. A lot of people, for more natural cleaning, might even use a little bit of vinegar and water, to kind of keep things clean, the surface clean. You want to stay away from heavily scented products. So there are a number of products out there I know that have done that, trying to stay green and let people be exposed to less chemicals, which is critical because they can trigger asthma.
Well, that certainly is. Now, what about inhalers, not inhalers, but sinus, like saline or some of those that people are using? Are those okay to be using?
Yes, they make great sense to me. Is once again, it's focusing on the health of the nose and treating it naturally. And there's really nothing more natural, I think you and I will agree, than using like a saline solution with a nasal irrigator. There's one that I think of offhand that's on the market called Neomed Sinus Rinse. And it's very simple, very cheap to use, and it makes a big difference if you use it once or twice a day in keeping your nose healthy.
So we can use those even on children, but what about the ones that are like, neosinephrine and the ones that they tell you, whoa, those things can become addicting but people get so clogged, all they want is relief.
I know, I've been there myself, and the fact is, for maybe a day or two, if you have extreme congestion, you can use those, but if you find out you're having to continue to use them, you want to maybe get to the doctor and find out, look, is there something, is there an infection here we can treat, and that sort of thing. So those medications, I think, just using small doses can be helpful, especially when someone's suffering in the middle of the night and you have nowhere to go. You need to open up your nose so you feel better and breathe better.
Is there any truth to the fact that you use them and then you're worse the next day? More stuffed up?
Right. If you use them for about 3 or 4 days, Melanie, the nose gets used to using those, and you'll have to use it over and over to keep your nose open. One other natural product I've been recommending to people, it's called Sinus Buster Nasal Spray. Now, this is an interesting one. It contains capsaicin, which is the heat in hot peppers.
Mm-hmm.
So when you spray that in your nose, it will feel just like a jalapeno has been stuck up your nose. But I want to tell you something. Within a minute, you tend to get relief from nasal congestion, and it's not addictive. And it's been shown in clinical trials to really make a difference with nasal congestion. So I've had a number of people using that as well.
That's fantastic advice. And do you have a website you like people to go to learn about these things?
Sure. It's called beatingasthma.com. And they can look at my book and information there on asthma.
That's great. Thank you so much, Dr. Stephen Epelisky. And remember, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at radiomd.com. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.